Technology. It's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun. It can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Later on in the show, we'll hear why residents in rural Illinois are opposed to a ban on fracking. But first, many people struggle to protect their data online, whether it's what they share on Facebook or how to react to targeted Google ads. Farmers are also worried about some of the same issues. They're using precision information from their fields to prescribe exact doses of everything, from seeds to water to fertilizer. That farm data could help drive new levels of productivity. But as Harvest Public Media's Grant Gerlach reports, farmers also have to decide just how much they want to share.
In Dave Beck's machine shop, you see some of the old tools for farming, wrenches, metal grinders, air compressors. But sitting on a steel slab of a welding table is one of the new tools, a laptop computer loaded with specialized software for precision agriculture. Beck farms about 4,000 acres in eastern Nebraska, and he uses software from John Deere to break each field down into hundreds of grid squares. On that laptop, we look at the planting map for one irrigated field, a bright green circle inside a dark red square.
You can kind of see the two different colors where the pivot corners are a different color.
The map tells the planter to drop more than double the seeds in the green area covered by sprinklers than the red corners where the water doesn't reach.
As soon as it crosses that line, the GPS line, it will slow the planter drives down and thin the population down.
Precision agriculture started with satellite-guided tractors and maps recording grain yields during harvest. But farmers like Beck are taking the next step. Depending on the soil, rainfall, and past yields, they can apply different amounts of seed, water, and fertilizer to the land. Now that retailers from Walmart to Whole Foods are putting a critical eye on fertilizer use in food production, it pays for farmers to be precise. But Purdue University agronomist Bruce Erickson says the big payoff is still out there if farmers are willing to embrace big data. Erickson says even with all the precision technology, there's a lot of trial and error on the farm right now. The answers would be clearer if farmers pooled their results.
We mine the information from farmers' fields, sort of like Google mines the information from our mouse clicks, and what Walmart mines from when we purchase certain products, who purchases them and when.
That would be a treasure trove for seed companies. It could help speed up research and establish a track record for new seed varieties.
People are thinking whole farms could be our research plot versus doing a specific study in a corner of a farm.
Farmers could make decisions based on neighbors' real results. You know how Amazon recommends books you might like based on your purchase history? Farmers could tell if people who got great yields with this corn also liked those soybeans.
That's huge. You know, you can see it over multiple soil types and multiple types of operations.
That's Todd Reed. He farms more than 2,000 acres near Lincoln, Nebraska.
You could look at one hybrid over 5,000 acres. There's an extreme amount of value in that.
But this is where the information age gets bogged down in the nitty-gritty. If their data is sold, will farmers get a cut? What if there's a security breach like at Target? Central Nebraska farmers Brandon Honeycutt and Lon Bone say those concerns are enough for many farmers to keep their data between themselves and close advisors.
I think there's a distrust of the major corporations of, okay, what are you going to do with my data?
Someone else is probably profiting from it, and they feel they should share in that.
At this point, digging into data could represent the next big step forward for U.S. agriculture, but only if farmers feel safe taking the plunge. That's why the Farm Bureau, the country's largest farm group, hashed out a new policy for sharing farm data earlier this year. It includes the right for farmers to delete their data whenever they want. As farmers become more comfortable with precision technology, it may only be a matter of time before sharing data becomes second nature. Lon Bone says when it comes to technology, farmers don't like to be left behind.
There's always one farmer in the community who's 20 years behind everybody else, and they don't want to be that guy.
But for now, most farmers are taking a long, hard look before they leap into big data. Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
The debate over hydraulic fracturing is heating up again, this time in rural Johnson County, Illinois. A group of residents there, including a member of the county commission, has come out against a resolution that will appear on the ballot next month to ban fracking on their turf. As KRCU's Jacob McClelland reports, they're leading a campaign to vote no on the issue.
So there's a non-binding resolution on the March 18 ballot in Johnson County that will ask voters if they should ban fracking. It's non-binding, but supporters say it will help gauge whether the county should move forward with a so-called community bill of rights that would include the frack ban. But to Johnson County Commissioner Ernie Henshaw, the question of whether or not to ban fracking isn't that simple.
I don't think it'd be any different. I made the point of Johnson County passing a 100-mile-an-hour speed limit. We don't have any legal right to do that, and I don't think we have any legal right to ban fracking. And it concerns me that that we could actually jeopardize our financial future by doing that.
High-volume horizontal hydraulic fracturing is the controversial oil and gas extraction technique that has led to a boom in the fossil fuel industry in the United States. In Illinois, environmental groups like the Sierra Club and the Natural Resources Defense Council helped write a law last year that regulates the practice. But some locals here don't want any fracking at all. They fear it'll contaminate the water supply, tear up roads, and completely change their rural way of life. For Henshaw, though, a lot of it comes down to an unlikely place, far away Mora County, New Mexico. That's the first and only county in the United States to ban fracking. It's a world away from Johnson County, but Henshaw says what happens in that poor rural county matters here. The fracking opponents are hoping to wrap the frack ban into what they call a community bill of rights. They're getting help from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, or CELDEF. It's the same environmental organization that helped ban fracking in Mora County.
This is a shame. This is an absolute shame.
That's CELDEF's Natalie Long.
The commissioners, we can see, are not looking toward the good of their people. Instead, they're looking at what makes their job easiest.
She says local fracking opponents invited her to Johnson County, and yes, she's been working on the Community Bill of Rights, but locals wrote it, not her. She's only there for guidance. She calls each Bill of Rights a community-tailored effort.
There are similarities that may carry across in terms of rights, because we all have the right to clean air. We all have the right to clean water. We all have the right as a community to local self-governance. But each community sits around a table and actually decides what are the particular issues that they want to take on in their community. So saying that what happened in Mora County is going to happen in Johnson County just isn't true.
All this might seem like a lot for a non-binding resolution, because the non-binding part means exactly that. The county commission doesn't have to approve a fracking ban if the yes vote wins the election. Meanwhile, Ernie Henshaw says he's a Johnson County taxpayer and citizen, as well as a commissioner, and he doesn't want to see his tax dollars wasted on a lawsuit the county could eventually lose. I'm Jacob McClelland.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Thanks for listening.